Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness in today's show. We'll be responding to your email questions and we'll be taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
I am all over the place.
All over the map, as we say?
All over the map. That's what it looks like.
Anything new in your life that might be contributing to this?
I was just thinking, how many times can I come unhinged in, you know, a week?
It seems to be kind of limitless, huh?
Seems like it's coming fast and furious.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. Well, the thing in my life, as you know, is there's a new baby in my life.
Mm-hmm. And an adorable baby he is.
An adorable baby he is.
I happen to have the great pleasure and privilege of visiting with him.
Yes.
What a fine little chap he is.
Fine little chap. And apparently he's coming home tonight.
Oh, my.
Perhaps just after this radio show.
Oh, my.
So it's really interesting. you know, the words fail me.
Yeah. Yeah.
It feels like somebody asked me how I'm doing. I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And you talk about that phrase a lot. I don't know is, you know, it's a really helpful place to be.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't have a clue.
I don't have a clue.
You know, what a waste of time to make things up. It's one of those, every moment of our lives, this is true, but we don't notice, okay?
Yes.
And then there are those times when we get it that my life will never be the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this event has happened, and I am different, and my life will never be the same.
Yes.
Yeah, and so there you are. So, of course, if we're not paying attention, we believe conditioning should know something about that.
Yes.
Yeah, how you're going to be and what you're going to do and how you're going to feel and what this means, and you couldn't possibly know. It's not possible to know.
Yes.
And that whole system gets revealed for the lunacy that it is.
Yes.
How do I know? I've never brought home a brand new baby before. I don't know what that's like. I don't know what that's going to feel like, what that's going to be like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was remembering, too, I think somewhere in one of your books, you talk about imagining that you have a brand new baby to take care of.
Yeah, somebody just gave you a brand new baby.
Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great exercise to do in a book, you know, hypothetically.
And here he is.
Wow. Wow. And I can get the sense of conditioning really scrambling, really trying to, I don't know, make sense of this or pull it together or pull me together or apart or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make it mean this and that and... My teacher used to talk about if suddenly you were left naked in a white room, you know, before long, you would be running everything that had ever happened to you past naked in a white room. And this is sort of one of those, you know, conditioning is just madly trying to regain control of the illusion.
Yes. Somebody's really scrambling to find something solid to hang on to, and I'm unable to find it, or some part of me is unable to find it.
Yeah, well, and so I don't know becomes kind of the most secure place I can be.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And you know what's amazing to me is that if I if I don't resist that, and if I don't pretend that that's not going on to other with other people, it seems okay with other people.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've told them many people straight out today, you know, I'm losing my mind. I am crazy. I don't know.
Uh-huh. And they just smile and laugh and go, yeah, well,
yeah.
That seems like the right approach.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you were trying to hide it, trying to keep it together, pretending you're okay, and inside, you know, all the systems are disintegrating, we would have to worry about you because you probably would be losing your mind.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. That's just endlessly fascinating. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, next week will be fun.
Yeah, what's going to happen?
We're going to report 1 week into the adventure.
1 week into the adventure, yes. Yes, yes, I'll be watching closely.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have a caller.
That's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I just found out that's a quote, I guess, from Martha Stewart.
That's a quote from Martha Stewart.
Yep, that's a good thing. Apparently Martha said that made that famous.
Oh,
and
that's...
I had no idea, you know, in the email class. I said it, and the man who wrote in said, and as Martha says, that's a good thing. And I said, well, son of a gun. Yeah, so
wow.
That's a good thing.
Great.
Thanks, Martha.
I'd like to welcome Aparna from Mountain View. You're there with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Michael. Hello, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi.
It's wonderful to talk with you. And I want to call in and express my gratitude for Michael and sharing his story last week, his birth story.
Mm-hmm.
And what really struck me in listening to it was the part where he shared how he and Claire had these plans for a natural birth, and it didn't go that way.
Uh-huh.
And when I heard that, it really made me realize that I, too, have a lot of plans around this same content.
Uh-huh.
And my husband and I have been trying to start a family for about a year. And when I heard that, I realized that ego has a lot of plans about how we should be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
and how easy it should be or difficult it should be.
Right, how that's going to work and how it's going to go. And the assumptions and expectations that you just don't know are there until they're not happening.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we've found out that it's pretty unlikely, I mean, there's always possibility, but it's pretty unlikely that we'll be able to start a family without some help.
Mm.
We're going to need some sort of help, and we don't know exactly what that looks like yet. And I just listening to Michael's story, I just realized how invested people in me are.
Yeah.
About being able to do this, quote unquote, naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how
the assumption of normalcy and adequacy and how deep the identification with those things is, even though they're never stated.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And just what I saw in me is when we found out, you know, that we have some fertility issues. How someone in me immediately leaped to, well, then you should adopt.
Mm.
You shouldn't, if you can't do it by yourself naturally, you shouldn't get help. You know, you should, you know, there's lots of children in the world and your heart's desire is to have a family. And, you know, I can see how conditioning takes the language.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's really that you want to start a family and think about how positive adoption would be. And you know, we might adopt, but we're not there yet.
Right.
And we just found this out.
Right, but somebody already has plan B.
Yeah.
Right, conditioning. Okay, all right.
But yeah, and
that's fine. And what that means is now we go this way.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And you can't go down the route of, you know, having medical science assist you, because that's not what was supposed to happen.
Uh-huh, that's not natural.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And just listening, you know, to Michael's story, and, you know, I heard what a blessing that medical science was there.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah.
and how happy we are about that made me stop and think, wow, who is telling me this?
Mm-hmm.
And what do they really know?
Yeah, yeah, and we have our suspicions about who that is, don't we?
Yeah.
Because you can't get help. You can't, you either go with the conditioned program or you have to settle for something way less.
Yeah.
Because there's no seeing what else will work or what are the alternatives? What
mm-hmm.
else can we do? We don't do any of that. It's just this is the kind of right way for it to happen. And then if you're not one of those, well, then this is what you get.
Yeah, and that's what you should do, and you should be very happy.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're very fortunate.
Yeah.
And it just, I can see how it completely dismisses the part of me that really wants to have my own biological child.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is not out of the realm of possibility, right? I mean, it's not like we've been trying assisted reproductive technology for years and years and years. I mean, this is mm-hmm. a distinct possibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that person just gets completely dismissed. Like, that's not a valid desire.
Right. Well, and, of course, that's the content, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I bet now that you've seen that process, in this case, you'll start to see it everywhere in your life. Okay, well, then it's either this way or, okay, then it's this. But there's no opening up. There's no looking for possibilities. It's just this conditioned reaction or this conditioned reaction. And what you're really suggesting is, but now wait a minute. Somebody is really perhaps not invested in that ego-identified way, but there's somebody who would like to have this experience. So can we please see if she can have this experience before we just say, okay, well, that's over, and move on to this?
Yeah.
And that kind of looking to see and being open to possibility is the worst thing that can happen to conditioning.
Yeah. And this place that you guys were talking about earlier about I don't know,
mm-hmm.
you know, conditioning knows.
Conditioning.
You know, you're going to do all this stuff, and it's invasive, and it's expensive, and time-consuming, and at the end, you're not going to have anything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't know.
Or even if you do have a baby, it won't be right somehow.
Yeah.
It'll still be second best. And we're not meant to question that kind of programming, to say, now, wait a minute. No. The process is what's important. Doing the best we can is what's important. Letting go and accepting what is, yes, absolutely. And letting go and accepting what is also includes seeing what the medical people have to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
And this, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
and really helpful, so that when you get that little person, what you're going to be modeling is all of the possibility that exists, that is the container.
Yeah.
Conditioning lives.
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to practice is, okay, so the opportunity we have now is to spend some more time with each other without the little one yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, you know, how can we have joy with that?
Uh-huh.
And being with the, you know, whenever that I don't know, you know, there's this part of me that hates I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what we've taken to telling that person is, we're going to have a child in the next few years. We don't know where it will come from.
That's right.
But it's
one
coming.
One way or the other.
It's coming.
Yep.
So that's what we know.
Yes, yes.
And let's, you know, get excited about that possibility and all the different possibilities that
and
it could
everything
be.
That we're going to experience on the way to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I go back again at just I don't know if you've ever heard me talk about this, but at one point I was doing an evening group, you know, at the Zen Center, and this fellow was there who was miserable because he really wanted to buy a house and he couldn't afford it. And it was going to take him years to save up the money for the down payment. And I suggested to him that buying the house could start right now. Mm-hmm. And that he could actually enjoy saving the money for the down payment as part of buying the house.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, "You're crazy." I thought was kind of an extreme reaction to that very brilliant piece of enlightenment. But from conditioning's point of view, it is crazy. The enjoyment of the house starts when I'm in it.
Yeah.
And yet, if we approach life that way, I'm not going to enjoy the house when I'm in it any more than I enjoyed picking it out, doing the financing, saving the money for, you know.
Yeah.
If I can't enjoy where I am now and what I'm doing, some event in the future is not going to change that.
Yeah, and that story just makes me feel, I feel a lot of sadness.
Oh.
Because, you know, if I believe that story, then what that has to mean is I have to be sad now.
Yes.
I have to be really sad about this all the time.
Oh, I have to be miserable over it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't want to do that.
Oh, no. No, it's just not a kindness to anybody.
Yeah. And it makes the whole process so much harder.
Yeah, there's somebody who's disappointed over the way things are going, and so then let's tell her that she needs to be sad all the time.
Yeah.
That'll help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for having this venue
you.
Where we can call in and expose all these things.
Uh-huh. It's great, isn't it? And
yeah.
Again, thanks to Michael for being so
willing,
open and willing to let everybody in on that kind of process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Aparna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. And it is a privilege to be a part of this radio show.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful.
Yeah, to be able to be in people's lives in the way we have the opportunity to be.
Yes.
Great.
Yes. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up in the next segment of Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious compassion and awareness, taking your calls, and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. If you'd like to join our conversation today, you can call us toll-free, 877-514-7300. That number is good throughout the U.S. and Canada. If you're further away, you can reach us abroad at 001-858-277-1444. Sherry, I have an email here.
Great.
Hi, Sherry and Michael. I really want to thank you for doing this show. I like to listen to your archived shows while I'm exercising and just heard the show about authentic child rearing. Wow, that's basically what I've been doing, but I've been berating myself for doing it. The funny thing is that it's really been working out great, but I still feel guilty. I have a wonderful 10-year-old son who is far from perfect, whatever perfect is, but is really a cool person. I love watching him interact with people and his thoughts and the world around him. Somehow I convinced myself that he is a very interesting and fun person in spite of my horrible parenting. I don't yell very often at all, but when I am mad, I let it be known, and then it passes and is gone. There was one time when he was about 4 years old and hid from me in the store. Of course, I totally panicked and thought someone had stolen him. When he popped out of the clothes rack, he could tell that I was panicked and angry and scared because I told him that I was. I told him in no uncertain terms that he had just terrified me and that I was really upset and that he should never do that again. And he never did. But I felt really bad that I reacted that way. I thought I probably made him anxious by reacting with such strong emotion. I always thought that, quote, good parents didn't let their emotions be seen by their kids. I thought that they guided their kids through life firmly and calmly and somehow kept their emotions in check at all times. I'm not like that, though. I usually let my son see my reactions and my emotions, whether they're positive or negative or just neutral. Basically, I've always felt guilty about showing my son that I am a real person with real feelings. It wasn't until I heard your segment on authentic parenting that I realized what I had been doing, that I don't have a great kid in spite of the way I've interacted with him. More likely, it's because of the authentic way I've interacted with him. He sees true approval from me because at other times he sees my disapproval. He sees my irritation and anger, but he also sees how I apologize if I was mean. He sees me express joy and sadness and being afraid. He sees me being right here, right now, having emotions and then moving on to the next moment and reacting to that too. I set limits and boundaries and maintain them very firmly, which I thought was the, quote, good part of my parenting. But allowing him to see how to really be living in the moment and reacting to life authentically, which I always thought was the, quote, bad part of my parenting, may have been the best part of all. While he was watching me deal with my emotions, he was learning how to deal with his too. Thank you so much for helping me see things differently and let go some of the guilt that I've been holding on to. I really appreciate it. From a listener in Toledo, Ohio.
That's great.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, isn't that great? And I don't think it was specifically stated, but I bet this young man has permission to do the same.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So he gets to be all of who he is. He has permission to be all of who he is. And again, you know, with all of that, the only thing I think that people have a hard time with, and I think they should, is when we start wanting to blame them for our emotions.
Yes.
And, you know, often that's one of the things that parents slide into and then really feel bad about.
Yes.
But if it's just an authentic expression of this is what's going on with me right now, and the child has permission to do the same thing, to feel and express all of who they are, what could be better than that?
Yes.
And I think we become monsters on both sides. You know, we raise monsters and we act like monsters when we do that just silly and impossible thing of trying to pretend like we're somebody we're not.
Yes.
And what would be the advantage of being terrified that somebody has stolen your child and then acting as if nothing happened?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How could that possibly be helpful? How could that be helpful in any relationship?
Yes.
Yeah, I just I don't see it.
Yep.
Good. I'm glad that's how the parenting is going and that it's going so well.
Yes. Sounds like great role modeling.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, we have a caller.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Celia from Seattle. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
I'm glad to see you this weekend.
Yes, you are. And I get
excited
to see you, too.
That's right. Yes, I love Seattle, and I'm very pleased that I'm going to be able to be up there this weekend.
Well,
Saturday, for anybody in the area, can slide over from the radio show and go on the website as soon as we're finished and find out where it is, and they can come by and see both of us.
Yes, I emailed a lot of friends about the event, and I don't know if anybody else that I know is coming, but I'll be there.
Good. So what's going on?
Well, I'm calling really in response to what you've just been talking about if I can't enjoy the process of buying my new house, I'm not going to be able to enjoy it when I get it. And lately, I've just had a huge increase in my sitting practice. Mm. And struggling to focus on my breath and let go of thoughts and let go of body and mind and just focus on the breath. Mm-hmm. And feeling discouraged because I'm still very much sort of flooded with thoughts. Mm-hmm. And I've worked on this before with the idea that, well, okay, as a matter of fact, we've talked about it. Okay, so there's thoughts, or there's not no thoughts. I mean, maybe either one is fine. And I find that with this increase in my energy and time and commitment to more practice, I'm feeling very discouraged that I'm still finding so many thoughts and that the whole thing is so difficult still.
Okay. Now, you know, I bet, but I'm going to remind you once again, and anybody else who's struggling with this, because this is something that meditators tend to struggle with, there is the problem is not with the thinking or with the thoughts. The problem is that you have someone keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
And that someone is what I call the illusion of a separate self.
Mm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. So there you are. You sit down to meditate, and thoughts are going through your mind, and the body is doing whatever the body is doing, and, you know, the breeze, there's a breeze outside, maybe bird is singing, and maybe your bottom is getting tired of sitting on the cushion, and, you know, somebody's doing something in the house, and all this stuff is going on. Now, if there's nobody in charge of that, if what your attention is on is the breath, okay, so your job is to attend to the breath.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the only thing you need to be aware of is the breath.
Mm-hmm.
When you're not with the breath, it doesn't really matter where you are. You're not with the breath. When you are with the breath, you're with the breath. Doesn't matter what else is going on. But there's somebody, the illusion of a separate self, you know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
That this idea of separation.
Yeah.
That is saying, well, you're not with the breath. That all you're doing is thinking. You're not being able to drop the thinking. You're not really here.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, you, because of conditioning, will fall into believing that what that voice is saying is valid.
Yeah.
But that voice is simply there to keep you from being with the breath.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if you had to run outside and make sure all the birds were quiet so that you could concentrate on the breath, we would say, this is a woman in trouble. Okay?
I like the image, though.
All right. Stop there. All of you, be quiet. Okay? Because it's silly, right? It's just silly.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Traffic isn't going to stop. Airplanes are going to fly over. The breeze is going to blow. Okay. Life is going to go on, and you're sitting, and that's just how it is. And part of life going on is thoughts. And if you don't have any involvement with those thoughts, I mean, you are so disinterested in those thoughts that you are not actually aware of whether they're there or not.
Yeah.
That's where you want to be.
Yeah.
You see?
The same thing is happening with, I have this opinion that my breath isn't good enough, that it's too shallow.
Yep, and guess who is in charge of your breathing?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that same illusion of something separate from you, separate from your breath, separate from sitting, that's going to be in charge of whether or not you're doing it right.
Uh-huh.
That's egocentric karmic conditioning. That is what suffers. It's the cause of suffering. And it's inserting itself there so that your attention will go to it instead of to the breath. Because when you are just sitting with the breath, that illusion of separation doesn't exist. Ego gets hysterical over that. So it's going to tell you you're doing something wrong. Whether you are or not is immaterial.
Whether I am doing something wrong or not is immaterial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean that in both senses of it. So you know, the meditation teacher says you need to sit up straight, let your shoulders drop down the spine, and you're sitting there, look more like a question mark than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So what? So the voice comes in and says, you're not sitting up straight enough.
Yeah.
Well, that's irrelevant. The voice is not saying that because you're sitting that way. It would say anything to give you an impression of doing something wrong so that you'll engage with it, so that you'll feel bad, so that you'll try harder, so that you'll argue, so that your attention goes to it instead of just being here with the breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So people believe, of course, well, it's true. You know, the teacher said I should sit up straight and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or the breathing, you know, the breathing should be natural and relaxed. Well, mine isn't natural and relaxed. So that really is a problem, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a problem. Because when you're just with the breath, the breathing will be as it is, and it'll be natural and relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So the voice would say, your breathing isn't natural and relaxed, if it were.
Uh-huh.
The voice, the whole point of the voice is to get you out of the moment.
Yeah.
And it'll say or do anything to accomplish that. So you see, now here's the final point to me about this. You cannot meditate to do it right. That cannot be the motivation.
Oh, dear.
You cannot. You're only actually meditating when you have no interest whatsoever in meditating. You're just sitting there to sit there.
Oh, dear. That makes me want to cry.
Hopefully, it'll also make you want to sit more. You know, we can't do that. It's like if I'm talking to Christians, I will tell them, you can't love God so you get something back.
Yeah.
You can't. You got to love God to love God. You already got back everything more than actually you deserve if you had a clear and honest moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we sit simply to sit, because it's who we are. Because being still and present with what animates us is what we are. It's what we do. It's the deal. We don't do it in order to be a good meditator or to meet standards. So we would sit there if I'm the worst meditator on the planet, and everybody who walked through would say, yes, absolutely, worst meditator we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I would still sit there because the point of it is not approval. The point is not meeting standards. The point is not getting somewhere, being somebody. You sit, just to sit. Just to sit with that which is. Just to sit still, be as still as we can, with that which animates us. That's it.
That goes against why I think I'm sitting.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm sitting to achieve some great breakthrough, something or other.
Mm-hmm. Most people do. That's why meditation is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a struggle for people because they think they're going somewhere. They think they're going to be somebody. They think there's something to do, to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
And then life is a misery because they're not doing it. They're not getting it right. They're not enough. They don't have enough this and enough love, enough recognition, enough money, enough. So life is hard. Without all of that nonsense, life is not hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew.
Yeah, you try that for a little while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just the breath, only the breath. The only thing you notice, the only thing you're interested in, the only thing you care about is just being with the breath, letting the breath breathe. Not controlling it, not fixing it, not making it something, just being with it, sitting still as the body breathes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Yep.
See you Saturday.
Yep.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for joining us, Celia. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, as you were talking with her about meditation and just sitting, I noticed I was just sitting there with the breath.
Mm.
It's really great.
Isn't that lovely?
It's really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to do.
Some of the best meditations, I think, I've observed, and I've actually been told this, sometimes especially in a tension awareness workshop or a sitting, you know, day or that sort of thing, I'll say to people, okay, now I want you just to sit down and don't meditate. Okay, just don't meditate. Just, you know, keep your eyes going, focused, but don't meditate. How many people are just, you know, saying, oh, if it could always be like that. Well, it can. Sit down and don't meditate. There. But it's when I'm meditating now. Now I've got that standard and that expectation, and then I'm just fair game for egocentric karmic conditioning. Well, you didn't do that right. That wasn't enough. That, you know, you're not breathing right. You're not relaxed enough. You're not sitting up right. You don't know what you're doing. This isn't it.
Yes. Yes. Amazing.
That's why the only, you know, we have that whole series of Zen responses. Oh, huh. Wow. Mm. That's so.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Great stuff.
Yeah.
You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back to you in a couple of minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Phone lines are open here. If you'd like to give us a call, that would be great. Call us toll-free in North America at 877-514-7300. If you're further away, you can reach us at 001-858-277-1444. Sherry, I have an email question here.
All right.
Sherry, when you were talking with a caller tonight about extricating herself from her living situation without adding additional karma, I noticed myself feeling painfully aware and remorseful about my having done just the opposite last week in extricating myself from a job that wasn't working for me. Moreover, I've been becoming painfully aware lately of my having repeated this pattern over and over and over.
Mm.
Different content, same process. Here's the karmic pattern. An opportunity presents itself for a job, friendship, dating relationship, living situation, therapy relationship that seems to offer some of what I want, but which my intuition says doesn't feel right. Generally, there are red flags or warning signs, but I override my intuition and say yes anyway. As time goes on, the things I had warnings about play themselves out. My suffering grows more and more intense, and at some point I reach my limit of tolerance where the suffering is so great I can't continue on anymore. I finally extricate myself, but in a messy, painful, bridge-burning way, full of hurt and anger all around. I end up relieved to be out of the way, but paying a big price for the way in which I got out. This is a huge karmic suffering pattern for me over and over and over, leaving a trail of bad karma behind me. I have a lot of regrets and remorse and see how much needless suffering and additional karma I create by playing this out. No matter how much I may have been or felt victimized in the situation, I know and take responsibility for the fact that I got myself into it, that I chose it against my better judgment, knowing it wasn't right, not listening to or heeding my intuition. I also have become aware of the roots in my childhood of this pattern, having intuitively known as a child that what my father was doing wasn't right, things which weren't talked about or named till adulthood as sexual abuse, despite him acting like it was right. But I had no way to extricate myself then, much less to talk about it or express my feelings about it. So I seemed to keep recreating similar enough situations and then doing what I couldn't do then, expressing my anger and hurt and extricating myself from the situation. I'm so tired of doing this. I see what a waste it is of my time and life energy and how much suffering it creates for myself and others. I want to apply what you're saying and do things differently in the future, but I don't know what to do about the trail of bad karma I have left behind me, besides make myself feel bad about it. I suppose, as with everything, it's about noticing and coming back to the moment, to center. Any additional guidance? Thank you, and guest show. From Karma Carla, my new name for the sub who keeps playing this out.
Well, I know the answer.
Oh, great.
Isn't that a good thing?
That's a good thing.
So the question was, I don't know what to do about basically all this mess I've made in the past.
Yeah.
Right? And so the answer is, forget it.
Forget it.
Forget it. Just forget it. To me, this is a cause for rejoicing on two levels. One, just the fact that this has been seen.
Yes.
Okay, I get it. I get it. Oh, my gosh. That's what I'm doing. And then the kind of icing on the cake is, well, and this is why I do it.
Yes.
Of course. I learned to do this as a small child.
Yes.
And now, as an adult, I'm doing what I wish I could have done then, which is stand up for myself and express how I feel and like that. This is good. This is just, this is why we do awareness practice.
Yes.
To become aware of these kinds of things. Now, of course, the practice is to bring conscious, compassionate awareness into the present so that now, as she goes forward with this, when this situation arises, there's going to be a, wait a minute, this sounds familiar. I think I've been here before. Now, that, you know, conditioning would want us to believe that, well, then that should be enough. Then you'll just never do this again, and you'll just be left never doing it again. But you should still feel bad about all the stuff you did in the past that you can't change, because that's just, there's so much suffering in that, we hate not to take advantage of it. But in fact, it usually takes us a while to catch on to all of the ways the conditioning plays out. So probably the first one is being really conscious of, I know that this is not the thing to do, and then just being kind of dragged into it anyway.
Yeah.
And the you know, this whole thing, for all of us, whatever the issue is, that voice that comes up and says you should have known better, it's only there to cause suffering. As soon as we know better, really know a different way that is better for us, we will drop that old way of being and doing. Yeah. So as long as I'm doing it, in fact, I don't know better. I might have an intellectual understanding, but that's not the same as being able to make a different choice in the moment.
Yes.
So, you know, you cut loose from the past and cut loose from that voice. It's just what the previous caller was talking about with meditation.
Yeah.
You know, that voice is there to create separation and suffering. It's not there to give good, helpful advice or make things better or, change your life and give you what you want. It's not. It's there to cause suffering. It stands outside your life and tells you what you're doing wrong. It's not for your benefit. So, then you begin to watch. And it's that process mapping thing that we do.
Yes.
You know, so here's the first, okay, somebody asks me out. And so there, put that on a post-it and put it on a big old blank wall somewhere so that we can make a map out of it, okay? Then the next thing that happens is there's this little, I don't think this is a good idea, okay? Put that on a post-it and put it right next to it. Then somehow I'm going to get talked into doing it anyway, okay? So I put that convincing piece of it on post-its. Okay,
yeah.
This is how I get talked into not listening to myself and doing what I know is not going to work out. Okay, then I go along. I go along with it. Then there's probably a lot of pieces of trying to make it work, even though, trying really hard, probably feeling angry and resentful and stuffing those. Okay, put those on post-its. Here we go. And then I get to the point where I've had it. And now, and very often, you know, this is when I have enough energy to feel powerful enough to do something, to retaliate, to get myself out of it, because before I didn't, you know, I'm feeling insecure and anxious, and I just have to do this, and I have to go along with what this person wants. I mean, this is an abused child.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I get to that point, okay, I'm out of here, and I'm going to tell you exactly, okay, we put that on post-its, we get it up on the map, and then there's the feeling bad. Okay, then all the voices kick in. You shouldn't have done that. What's the matter with you? You knew better. You know all along. Okay, and then put that up on post-its. There's that piece of it. Then I feel bad for whatever period of time, and I get beaten regularly, and then the cycle starts all over again.
Yes.
So now maybe the content is I've decided to do this kind of therapy, or I've decided to take this job, but as I watch, the cycle is exactly the same. The voices are the same, the beatings are the same, the arguments, the being convinced, it's all exactly the same. Pretty soon, I know it so well that the minute it starts, everything in me just goes, I don't want to do that. Not, I shouldn't, or I don't want to, but I know I have to because, you know, no, I don't want to do it, and guess what? I'm not going to do it.
Yes. Wonderful.
Now, I hope that personal practice with this, and then either call in or write in again and let us know.
That would be great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. I look forward to a report from you next week, too.
Oh, no doubt.
Yep.
Thank you, Sherry.
New family. Good night, Michael.
Good night.